upset my mind like a spider to a fly. Jump right ahead in my web.
And now it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, Obi-Wan and Anakin must deliver supplies to Christophsis while the planet is under Separatist control. They encounter Separatist Commander Admiral Trench and get more than they bargained for. There will be a spider guy! Ew! Sneaky, sneaky Anakin, and the time warp, since we're chronologically going backwards, back to the beginning. Cue the music. We're talking about cat and mouse this week. I was giving you a time thing there, Chris. Hi.
Hi.
Let's do time warp again.
Oh, I got it.
Oh, I know.
I got it, as you can hear underneath us. It's already happening.
I can't hear anything.
It's just a step to the right.
Time.
You know what's happening.
I know music's playing right now. the invisible music that I can only hear in my head.
Our band had to learn that for a Halloween concert.
What? How?
It's Halloween party every year, and they said, hey, could you learn the time warp? And we said, okay. It's a very easy song to learn. It's a fun song to play and sing.
Oh, yeah. I was walking down the street just having a feed. Chicken me up, he took me by surprise. He had a pickup truck in the devil's eyes.
Just to spiral off more, we used to do a concert where women would, I think I've talked about this before, where women could just sign up for, they could give us any, it was basically like live karaoke. If you were female or willing to present yourself as female, we would learn whatever song that you brought in. And we had one of the most ill-fated, thank God for me. we were going to learn Touchy, 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 Touch Me. I Want to Get Dirty.
Yeah. You
know, from the song. And one of the girls that worked at the taco stand with me was going to sing it. And she picked me out to be Rocky, which meant I had to be up on stage in gold hot pants.
Yep.
And that's it, basically. And a blonde wig, I'm shameless on stage. I'll do it. At that point, I was like 60 pounds heavier than I am now. But you know what? I didn't give a shit. It was not going to look like the Rocky Horror Picture Show, though. I don't know if she knew that or not. I'm sure she did. But unfortunately, she was a counter girl, and counter people who worked at the counter were not allowed to go behind the food line, because if they got hurt, they're not supposed to be there. So, we didn't want anybody to get hurt unnecessarily. Well, one day she went behind the line and slipped on some oil and cut her head open.
Oh, honey.
Had to have stitches. Yeah, her boyfriend was there, and she just walked out of the kitchen just like, my head is bleeding. And, like, she was fine. We took her to the hospital. She got stitched up and everything. No problem. It was him that the ambulance had to really take care of, because he passed out flat down on the ground.
Oh, honey.
I hated that guy. He was one of those guys, all you had to do was mention anything about the female menstrual cycle, and he would start getting queasy.
Oh, so we don't like this guy?
No,
okay.
We don't like
this guy. Glad that fucker passed out.
No, we don't like this guy at all. But I had an awkward moment where his girlfriend had to come over to my house to take measurements to make my Rocky outfit. The Rocky outfit was made. I have the Rocky outfit, which is the gold hot shorts to this day. And they'll it will probably never get broken out in public or in private. But I have them as a
memento.
Don't ever
say never. It could.
I guess it could.
Next two True Freaks meet up, guys. You got to make
Christmas. I know it's not as good a story as penis piercings and pudding, but I try.
Oh, that episode. That was.
I should have waited with that one and built up to it, but.
No, that was a good one because that episode was such a dud. that episode's probably my second favorite episode that we've done.
Even though it's not your second favorite episode of Clone Wars for sure.
Right, that we've done personally. My second favorite JGS and Jedi episode. My first is probably our season one wrap up. That was a really good one too.
And it's funny that both of those are not, like, for specific episodes either.
It was for our discussions.
Yeah.
Didn't I cried.
You know why?
Why?
Because we're so damn classy.
We're so damn classy. Yeah, we are. Damn classy, girl. Ow, I just hit... Ow! I said damn classy, girl, and then I smacked myself in the teeth with my coffee cup.
Yeah, that about sums it up.
Ow, my face.
Sums up the appeal right there.
Oh, I guess we should get to this episode.
This is actually a good episode.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, now that I'm in pain, let's do this. Yeah, Cat and Mouse is the 38th. I can't do it in this voice. Cat and Mouse is the 38th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on March 20th, 2016 in the UK, and March 26, 2010 in the United States. It was written by Drusy Greenberg and Brian Larson and directed by Kevin Dunleavy. Some extra information for you. This is the 16th episode of Season 2. Also like the 16th episode of the first season, it was also a prequel to the series and the Clone Wars movie. Chronologically, it takes place before all previous episodes of Clone Wars, followed by the Hidden Enemy. Hence, Skywalker and Yularen are getting to know each other for the first time. And just to wrap up with all that fancy things, this episode is the very first episode of the entire series, FYI.
Now, when you say that, was that the first one made, or just chronologically?
Chronologically, this is the first one episode of the entire series.
Yeah, because the animation looks like it's up to the the current point of animation.
Production-wise, it was production-wise in the season 2, but chronologically, it's the first episode, period, the end.
Weird.
So, yeah. Anyway, the overall events of this episode, more specifically the usage and design of the stealth ship, were based on submarine warfare during World War II. And in the episode featurette, Dave Filoni says, "The whole thing revolves around this invisible ship with a cloaking device. Love this ship. It's really one of our best ships we've done with the radar dishes and the bubble turrets. There's a lot of functionality on that ship that we never got to use, mostly because it's invisible and you can't see it when it's in battle."
It's a fantastic ship.
It is a fantastic
ship. Classy.
George and I would sit down with my sketchbook and I would draw it to look like a pencil and I would go, "Okay, how big is this ship going to be?" And George would go, "Well, it's a small ship." And I would go, "George, there's no ship that small would have a cloaking device, because in Empire Strikes Back, when the Millennium Falcon sped away and hit on the back of the Star Destroyer," and George will say, "Well, this ship has a cloaking device." And I'm like, okay, that's fine. He went on to say, Filoni went on to say, "We didn't have a really good way for Yularen and Anakin to figure out that Trench knew about the cloaking device, how he was defeating the cloaking device in the past. And it gave Anakin the opportunity to say, no ship this small usually has a cloaking device. Thus," Dave said, "the fabric of time and space are not torn apart. I know that this stuff is important to you, the fans, who would pay attention. So normally, a ship this size wouldn't have a cloaking device. If we just say that line, it will all work out just fine."
Nice.
I love what a troll Dave Filoni is. He's my favorite. I think the only person who's a
big... You gotta do your George Lucas voice whenever he's... This is a small ship.
Okay, George.
just plug your nose when...
I don't know if I actually know what George Lucas sounds like.
You stuff up your nose a little bit, and then you put about 10% Kermit the Frog into it.
Okay, sound like that.
Yes, it's a small ship.
Okay, well, normally ships wouldn't have a cloaking device.
You might want to give it a little, too, so it's a small. Now I'm sounding too much like what's coming.
Okay, well, that's fine. Well, with the because of Empire Strikes Back,
that's pretty good.
Get around and hit on the back of the Star Destroyer. Well, this ship has a cloaking device, and I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Yep, I think that works. Well, you got a little bit of a sniffle today, too, so that might help with your George Lucas.
Yeah, I've had a head cold the last couple of days, so it's okay. I have fall allergies, so I don't have spring allergies. I have fall allergies. And what am I talking about? I have allergies all year round, so. You know who I'm also allergic to?
Yeah. Talking about a rash that won't go away.
Oh, it's green and bubbly.
Gold Bond ointment is good.
Yes. This one's in the shape of Jesus, and when you pop it, pus comes out. Yes!
Gold Bond ointment make things better. Clears up rashes, acne, and tetter.
Chris, I just thought of the most terrible thing in the world. Like Yoda using the Force to pop zits on young Padawans in their teenage years. Just like looks at one like on their back. Just like points at it and it just explodes off their back.
Heads lead to infection. Infection leads to pain. Pain leads to fear. Fear leads to a trip to the doctor.
An embarrassment? That's why you can't have girlfriends, because Yoda pops all your zits and leaves you all pot marky on your face. That's why they don't have attachments.
I thought you meant Yoda took all the good zits that your girlfriend would want to pop. That's how you know you got a real girlfriend, when she's popping your zits.
I used to try to do that to my ex. I wanted to do it so bad. I was one of those. I would just stare at his face and be like, that's a good one. See, I was always that kid that was like, when I was a kid, I loved picking scabs, and I'm surprised I don't have scars on my legs from it, but I was also like, you know, I would always be that kid, I would get hurt, but I would be like, oh no, I twisted my ankle, not like, oh man, I got this bitchin' scab to pick.
Yeah.
So I would always get like muscle things opposed to skin things, and I'm just like, I was always that kid, I was just like, damn it, I don't have a scab to pick. And then, like, a kid would come in, and they would have, like, this busted-up knee with this glorious scab, and I'd be like, it's beautiful.
I know, I haven't gotten a good knee scab or elbow scab in so long.
I have somewhat of one on my ankle right now. I got bit by a spider, and I accidentally nicked the bite when I was shaving my legs. And so it scabbed up, and so, like, now I'm just like, yes, yes! And a lot of it is I'm just still trying to squeeze all the spider biteness out of it. So I'm just like, yes, and it's going to scab, I know it. Hey, yeah.
All right.
And I wonder why I'm single.
No, hey, speaking of spider bites. Spider bite episode. Well,
I choose to be single, actually.
Yeah, I choose to be single, too. Yeah. Yoda is man going his own way.
Aw, you go, Yoda.
Yoda's space MGTOW.
You're like me. I choose not to date, and I'm okay with that. I've learned how to be single and how to love it and take care of myself.
Yoda's met the three-finger girlfriend.
Is she the vagina eyes oven mitts?
Sometimes.
Well, those eyes are not where your penis goes.
Just Yoda's master of visualization.
Anyway, let's get this over with.
Hey, it's time for Space Platitudes with Yoda. I actually really like this one a lot.
This one's pretty good.
Because the thing is, it goes for both Anakin and Yularen, and I like it for that reason.
And Obi-Wan a little bit. Sort of works for them all.
A wise leader knows when to follow. Bad.
Padme, you're supposed to follow me. Come on, Padme. God.
Like it's ballroom dancing, you know. One of them's supposed to be leading.
Obi-Wan says that Padme won't like me and won't follow me, and then...
Meet me halfway on this. God.
God, Padme. It's not like you're higher ranked than I am. I'm a fucking Jedi. God. No, but seriously, I actually really like this one because it really does go for Anakin, Yularen, and like you said, a little bit with Obi-Wan.
It's a rare one that works. That doesn't seem just randomly inserted.
Say that this one was a clunker.
You were about to say it was a clunker?
No, I was afraid that you would say it was a clunker, and I was like ready to fight you on it.
Oh, jeez, no, it actually makes sense.
I know, because like the only thing is like,
I watched the episode.
The only thing is, it's like it's almost too cliche. Like it is very much a cookie cutter one, like a fortune.
Yeah, I'll take
one.
That though.
Yeah, and so like usually like when they're like super cookie cuttery, like I keep saying cookie cutter. That's not the word I want. I want fortune cookie like. Those are the ones I've noticed that you tend not to like. So I was like, oh man, this is really good, but it's super fortune cookie. Chris is probably gonna hate it.
Cheesy as hell. I just want them to make, you know, have a little relevance to the episode.
Yeah.
I want to have the feeling that somebody actually wrote that for the episode instead of just, you know, pulling it out of a space hat.
Well, it was written for a fortune cookie 5 years ago, and then it sat into an Asian restaurant, and then Dave Filoni got it with his takeout, and it just happened to work.
That could have been. These could all have been from the closest takeout place to wherever they, you know, had their meetings.
Yes.
Let's just believe that's true.
And that's what we're going to go with. So, Act 1.
Act 1.
All right. Act 1. Holy TARDIS, Batman, we've gone back in time to pre-Clone Wars movie, pre-Ahsoka Tano, pre-everything we've watched for the last 2 seasons. We are back on Christophsis, where a separatist blockade surrounds the planet, keeping their resources and Bail Organa at bay. Anakin is leading a team to break through. Bail Skypes in like, hey guys, so it's pretty bad down here. I don't even know why I'm here to begin with, so if you could send help, that'd be really cool. His message cuts out. A Separatist command ship led by a Spider-Man named Admiral Trench, also voiced by Dee Bradley Baker, our lovely clone voice actor, shoots the shit out of our heroes. Anakin is like, fuck yeah, let's pedal to the metal past this guy. Luckily, Obi-Wan arrives in a cruiser to keep Anakin from a swift death. Apparently, Obi-Wan told Anakin not to engage the enemy, so of course Anakin had to get the biggest stick in the playyard and run full force after the closest bully. Obi-Wan wants Anakin to withdraw, and Admiral Yularen agrees. Anakin pouts, not getting his way, but he has his troops fall back behind the moon. Trench doesn't go after him, so he can also regroup and get ready for round 2. This is actually a long opening act. I know it's like a short read, but it was actually really like 6 minutes.
Yeah, I could not determine while watching this where the commercial breaks were in this. I think I was about 11, 12 minutes in when I'm like, hey, wait a minute, and started going back through it, going like, where's the spot where it goes, bum, 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 and then comes back, brum, with a little state, just seamless. So,
yeah, I pretty much was like, okay, this is the first round, the whole middle act's about the ship, and then the last one's the second round. Mm-hmm. So that's how I broke it up.
That makes sense. I really like how Trench's... Or I have Spider Guy in my notes. Spider Guy, Spider Guy. I like how his ship is sort of painted to look like a falcon or a bird of prey of some sort. Which is a, you know, when I say bird of prey, it is a little bit Klingon in there. There's some Star Trek-iness going on in this episode, as I'll note later on. But this episode has some Star Trek going on in it, tribute.
I actually made a thing about that. Only I said it was an evil happy face painted on it. And then I wrote, like, what made Count Dooku give a very expensive ship to a spider guy? And the spider guy goes, I'm going to graffiti the most terrifying thing I can think of. An evil happy face.
Well, I like it. It's
grinning. It's grinning at his enemies. It's like, hey, yeah. I'm Ship. Hey.
I've come to kill you.
I'm here. And meanwhile, Grievous is just like, I blew up another one, guys.
Yeah, you see, that's how you can, well, that you can tell this ship is not led by a robot. It's got some personality to it.
I know. I like that about it.
Even though it's led by an drooly insectoid creature. Which, of course, he makes himself even more repulsive by doing the, like, crack.
It's actually one of my notes later in the episode. But I feel like Dee Bradley Baker had so much fun playing Admiral Trench.
Oh, yeah.
He had, I could tell, just like his little, ooh, the Boo, and then the Jedi, and the Bribbit.
Well, Trench is an old school, you know, he gets off on being a warrior, you know. He's one of those old school guys who's not in it like this, you know, this is a job or I'm into this politically or something. He just likes to scrap. He likes tearing apart his enemies and figuring out what's going on. He likes the battle, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he sits around bored until he gets into a situation like this, and then it's all, he's firing on, you can tell he's firing on all cylinders. He gets up out of his chair and he's just like, yes, you know, let's do this.
Yeah, because like, I you know, as much as the creepy spider guy freaks me out, I actually really like Trench as an enemy, unlike Grievous, who, actually, I named him Grievous, the destroyer of all ships. Trench is smart and follows orders, and he's tactical. Like, he knows if he follows the Jedi around the moon, it could be a trap. So, I use this analogy, like a spider in a web, he waits for the right moment to strike.
And he's got a little bit of Grand Admiral Thrawn to him, you know.
Yeah,
he's thinking, he's getting inside their heads, and you know, I mean, later on in this, he goes, "Hey, wait a minute, this, you know, we're not just fighting clones here. This has got to be a Jedi with these maneuver." You know, he really picks it apart.
Speaking of Thrawn, so did you see Steps in the Shadows?
I did.
Yay! What'd you think?
It was very good.
It was very good, except for we asked for Ezra to get older, and my God, he's full-fledged teenager.
Now he's getting into Anakin.
No, he reminds me of Harry Potter Year 5.
Oh, okay.
I'm in a rage. No one understands me. I'm just going to go in my room and be alone and speak to my girlfriend, the Holocron. She understands me, Kanan. God.
I just like giant force user guy that sorts out Kanan. He's great.
Bindu? Yeah. Bindu.
Yeah, I hope we see more. I'm sure we'll see more of him.
Have you ever seen the movie Linkling Blonde?
I don't think I have.
Oh, man. Well, for some of you guys who have seen Legally Blonde, the Bindu would be friends with Elle Wood, so they can do the Bindu and Snap.
Oh.
Sorry, I was telling a joke. Anyway, oh. Yeah. No, but, like, I really like that. I think the Bindu and what they're doing, like, with these, like, little introductions of extra force things is really telling. Like, next season we'll be hitting the Mortis arc, where we'll be meeting the father, the daughter, and the son.
Right.
And so I like how there are things in this galaxy that are older than the Jedi and the Sith, and they're just like, oh, look at these children playing. You guys are fun.
Oh, look at them playing good guys and bad guys.
It's all just a thing. Though I did see someone talk about, it's Star Wars Explained. What is that YouTube channel? I want to make sure it's a great YouTube channel. I want to make sure I call them out properly because, let me see. Go Internet! There's the Stupendous Wave. That's the YouTube user Stupendous Wave, and they have these like all these videos called Star Wars Explained, and they explain canon, they explain history, they explain legends. So it's really cool. Well, they were talking about how now with the Bindu and with like Snoke and stuff like that, and what's been thrown out in the legacy, the term Grey Jedi is actually not in the canon anymore. And so like what Ahsoka is, we used to call her Grey Jedi. But that's not true. So, like, they were offering that, like, Ahsoka is now a Bindu, which is a balance of the light and the dark. So that might possibly be the new term for Grey Jedi in the future. And I thought that was really interesting.
I like it better than Grey Jedi. Grey Jedi is too literal.
I like both for different reasons.
Well, it's and it also it owes too much, I think, to Lord of the Rings, Gandalf the White he went from Gandalf the Grey to Gandalf the White, I believe, but
yeah,
you know, just that sort of thing.
Yeah, I can agree with that, but I like this idea of Ahsoka being a Bindu as well. And just one more thing about Ezra, like, my God, I just kept thinking in the back of my head every time I watched him. My Chemical Romance has a song called Teenagers, and the chorus is, "Teenagers scare the living shit out of me." And so, like, when he was just like, man, I wish Kanan would talk to me. And then literally the next scene, Kanan walks in and he's just like, hey, I was ready. He's like, don't talk to me, Kanan. I don't want to talk to you. I was just like, my God, teenager scare the living shit out of me. They could care less as long as someone will bleed.
So, yeah, like, Cubos are creepy.
Oh, my God. My niece is hardcore preteening right now. She is a tween. She is 12 and hardcore a tween. And I'm scared, and I'm glad I don't live in the same state as her.
Yeah, it's not really coming for a couple more years.
She's starting to pull that on my sister. Just starting to.
14's when they turn.
I know. High school, man. I'm scared.
I remember when my sister turned.
But I'm really excited because at the same time, I'm just going to be laughing. I stayed away at my sister. It's going to be worth it. Totally worth it, man. But yeah, I enjoyed the episode. And that was actually my first exposure to Thrawn, and I really like him.
They just gave him a little walk-on, basically. A walk-on and then a hologram scene. But, you know, it was just like, here he is. And I'm sure they're going to build him relentlessly as the season goes on.
Because I did think about it, because, like, I haven't read much EU stuff, so when they announced Thrawn, I thought about, like, getting the three Thrawn trilogy books, but then I decided that I wanted the Rebels one to be my first canon thing, and then afterwards I could go into the... Because I didn't want to have the whole thing where I read the books and then, like...
Well, there's no baggage on him now. You can...
Yeah,
This is the actual, technically, canon for it now, so you can take it right from here, you know?
And I didn't want to have, like, the book-to-movie effect, like, when you read the book and then you watch the movie and you're just like, oh.
This is wrong.
Yeah, I didn't want to have that effect. So what I'm planning on doing is, like, after I see Thrawn, then I'm going to get the Thrawn books and read it and stuff like that. So I really like him. I think he's really interesting. And I think comparing Trench to him is a very good comparison because they are kind of similar from what I can tell. Anyway, back to the episode.
You segued that back very well.
Thank you. It's like I tried. So, one unserious note, and then two kind of serious notes. My friend Angel, who has been on many episodes of Hope of All Trades, so if you go into my other podcast, Hope of All Trades, and find pretty much any Marvel episode, Angel's probably with me. She was binge watching The Clone Wars a while back, and when she got to this episode, I knew she was here because out of the blue, at like 1 a.m., she just Skypes me, oh my God, a Spider-Man, kill it with fire. Just out of the blue, Skyped me about it. I was just like, yay, you reached cat and mouse, yay. And then when Trench comes back in season 6, she did the same thing. Only it was, fuck, I forgot about the Spider-Man, kill it again. So, all right, so I'm going to ask you one question, and then I'm going to have kind of like a different take on the question. Ready?
Okay.
If we didn't know that this was chronologically the first episode of the series, would Anakin seem out of character with all the experience he gained so far in Clone Wars?
Yes, he and Yularen would have seemed out of character because Yularen is not as pissy about Anakin as he gets in the future. He gets a little pissy about Anakin going out on his own. This time he's just like, I'm going to go, you know, later on, he goes, I'm going with you, you know, to sort of keep an eye on you. But it works, you know,
yeah.
And he seems pretty pleased with that. So Anakin and Yularen, I think, are both consistent with where they would be right there, which is not where they are in the current, you know, up to date timeline of it, you know, so they have both. Anakin, I mean, this is before Ahsoka. Ahsoka basically changes Anakin in a lot of ways, you know, within the context of the Clone Wars. So she really humanizes him a lot and gets him to slow down a little bit, at least, you know, or at least put things in perspective as he's teaching her things, you know, he's teaching her things that he may not necessarily follow, and at the same time he's also teaching her some of his impulsiveness. But, you know, just the fact that he has to interact with her and becomes attached to her, you know, I mean, completely changes his character. So,
I think, like, the one thing for me is when Obi-Wan was like, you're doing a mercy mission, a supply run, like, Anakin crosses his arms and pouts. Like, he actually crosses his arms and just goes, move. And I was just like, oh, God.
I don't want anything to do with any mercy.
This is season one Anakin.
Well, yeah. That's probably where Anakin picked up the mercy mission line that he uses in, you know, in episode 4 in A New Hope. You weren't on any mercy mission this time.
And then in the back of his mind, he was flashing back to like, God, that one time I had to fly a ship and Obi-Wan made me go on a mercy mission. Obi-Wan.
It won't be our direct verbal, it won't be our first direct or our last direct verbal reference to A New Hope in this one either.
Yeah. Though, knowing that this is the first episode of the series, I do like where it is in this part of the season. Because we actually see Anakin's inexperience, and he's eager to prove himself. And this is probably only a few weeks into the war. Like, he hasn't been a Jedi Knight for very long. And he doesn't have the responsibilities of having a Padawan or many missions under his belt. So it's kind of interesting because, like, we've seen how far he goes, and then we have this episode that shows him back at the beginning again. So, and then
that's
next
cool.
Week, it is cool, because, like, next week we have Bounty Hunters, where we see him again, how far he's come. So it's kind of nice being in this, like, kind of context. Like, right smack dab in the middle of season two, we actually see where he used to be. And I like that. I like seeing where he used to be, and we've seen how far he's come. It's kind of like, hey, remember when Anakin was whiny?
Yep.
So I did like that about it. So, did you have anything else for Act 1?
No, that's pretty much it. I didn't have a lot for Act 1.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot for about the majority of this episode.
Yeah, it's a really good episode.
Yeah. Yeah,
but like you said, it's more of a tactical, navigational, you know, show.
It's not
a character developer as much as it is just
a cat and mouse.
Huh?
It's a game of cat and mouse. Like,
yes.
That's all it is. Or spy and flighter.
Spy and fighter.
That's exactly. I think I said spy and flighter, but fly and spider is what I meant to say. Okay.
Come into my parlor, said the slider to the spy.
It is National Beer Drinking Day, or
Yay.
National Drinking Day, so maybe I should go get a drink.
I was just going to say, neither of us are drinking beer.
I should probably go get one. It's reached that point. Anyway, so Act 2. Ready?
Act 2.
Anakin pops over to Obi-Wan's cruiser, and Obi-Wan shows him a brand new weapon. Nothing! Obi-Wan has it uncloaked and reveals a new stealth ship. This will be the ship's first real field test, so they don't know if the sensors can actually pick it up. Anakin's like, yeah, let's fuck up some spider bitches! But Obi-Wan says that he won't be on the offensive. He needs Anakin to run supplies to Senator Organa's headquarters. Anakin is just like, what? Why? Obi-Wan! Obi-Wan points out that it's better to save lives than destroy a ship. Yularen hits the books and realizes that the person they faced this morning was Admiral Trench. He takes the info to Anakin, who is surprised that the guy is actually alive. He supposedly died in a previous battle. But Yularen knows his tactics, and is 99.9% sure it has to be Trench. He volunteers for the mission, and Anakin welcomes aboard. Also, a really adorable new clone named Spark joins the mission, too, and I love him. He's so eager.
Can we call him Sparky from now on?
Yeah, Sparky. I like him. He's he's that kid that, like, you know, when you're, like, upperclassmen, and then you get a brand new freshman to join your club, and they're all just like,
funny hey, guys. Rusty, the red hey, clone.
I'm just so happy to be here. Hey, can I push all the buttons? No, okay. You guys are so cool. Hi, guys. Anyway. They launch the self-ship, and all systems are a go, and they drift slowly past the enemy cruisers. All seems to be going well, which means something at any moment is about to go to shit. Trench wants to lure the Republic ships out of hiding, so he calls some bombers to go after Organa's position. Not knowing that Anakin is actually there, his bombers zoom towards the stealth ship. Anakin thinks that the ships are possibly coming for them, but if they fight back, they can't stay cloaked. Anakin decides to stay cloaked and let it drift. The bombers rush by them, and Anakin sees that they don't know where his ship is, but Yularen is aghast that the bombers are going for Organa, and oh god, we gotta do something about it. Organa calls into Obi-Wan to, as the bombers are... Too many B sounds. Organa calls into Obi-Wan as for help as the bombers arrive. Kenobi tells Anakin to continue with the supply ships and he'll deal with Trench. Both Anakin and Yularen say that Obi-Wan's ships are outgunned and shouldn't fight him. Anakin, being Anakin, takes matter into his own hands, making Yularen go, "Sir?" And I'm not making up, Yularen actually made that sound. Like, Anakin was just like, "Let's fight!" And Yularen goes, "Sir?"
Just like the dogs,
Anakin prepares to fire, and Yularen continues to go, "Oh my god, what the fuck are you doing?" The Jedi says he'd rather have Trench focus on him than the people on the planet below. They decloak and exchange fire with Trench. Using flares to draw his fire, Anakin recloaks the ship as Trench's torpedoes miss him. Pivoting between Trench's laser blast, Anakin gets away. All the clones on board wish they were now on the Coruscant guard duty. Trench calls up Anakin and goes, "Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy, but I've destroyed ships like yours, so turn back maybe." Our heroes scratch their heads about how the spider actually has done this in the past while Trench is going, "Y'all know he ain't gonna turn back. That dumbass Jedi has got a snook by me, but he hit me instead. And y'all just gonna sit back. This is gonna be fun. Let's go, Trench." So, yeah. Anyway. I did not read these notes or edit them before. I usually read at least read through the notes. So I'm sorry. That was so messy. I just didn't read them over today. At least to fix grammar. I didn't read the for grammar this time. Hey! Yeah. So, what do you think of Act 2, Chris?
I liked it. There's a lot of neat stuff I noticed here. Like when they show the picture when Yularen's doing his research on Trench, that's a straight up like production sketch of the Trench character, you know, from probably one of the... It looks... I can't remember the guy's name, but I downloaded... Actually, my screensaver right now is in Episode 3. Production sketch by I think the same guy probably. It looks very similar.
Actually, I think that is his production sketches because it was in the episode featurette. I think Dave Filoni had pictures of Trench in the episode featurette and it looked like just like those.
Yeah, they totally look like Star Wars production sketches from modern times, you know, post prequels. So that was really cool. I like the sound little addition of when Trench launches the hyena bombers. They give a little hyena laugh, sort of, before they take off. You know, they give a little, like, "Eh." And I think that's cool. And, of course, we get our other Episode 4 reference with Bail Organa. Princess Leia's adoptive father saying, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope."
I had that in my notes, too, yeah.
And here's where we get to this. Well, not both of these aren't. First, Trench refers to his blasters on his ship as lasers and says shoot a bunch of lasers at him, which is a very non... I don't think they use the term lasers, really, in Star Wars. It was kind of strange. And cloaking device. I have it written down in my notes. Cloaking device is very Star Trek-y. I know they used the term cloaking device in Star Trek, but I wasn't sure if that's where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a book called Brave New Words, and it's the Oxford Dictionary of Science Fiction.
Oh, cool.
And you can look up any science fiction term and see where it was used first, and then it gives you a history of the people who've, you know, how it's embedded itself in literature by all the people who adopted it and used it. And so now looking up cloaking device... the first mention of a cloaking device, 1968, D.C. Fontana in Star Trek, the original series, The Enterprise Incident. So it is a Star Trek term through and through, originated. So cloaking devices, it's adding to the Trekkiness of this episode.
Huh. Yeah, I had the thing about Organa as well. I'm just going to get this out of the way. The stealth ship looks like a penis. Okay. Anyway, moving on.
You know what? I think it sort of looks... It's got a little bit in common. It's definitely more... It's more needle-dicky. But it's got the same sort of design as the Space 1999 ships in a lot of ways.
You know, I was thinking penis until Dave Filoni in the episode guide said that it looked like a pencil. And then I was like, okay, I can see pencil.
Well, pencil dick is also a term, so... It looks like a pencil dick.
Yeah, so I could see that too. So I was down with either of those. So, but yeah, I was just like, it's a penis. Anyway. Where was I? I really like seeing Anakin before Ahsoka arrive and all that. I talked about that already. We can see how far he's already come. I also love the fact that Anakin listens to Yularen on this one, because Trench is someone that he hasn't encountered, and Yularen has, and he actually asks Yularen for advice.
Yeah, and it's a good thing he does.
Yeah, and like that's kind of a thing. Like, Anakin's not always the first one to be like, please give me your advice on this matter. But like, Anakin right away realized, hey, I'm out of my league here. Yularen, tell me what you know about this guy. And he was just like, okay. And so I really liked that about that moment with Anakin. I think that's a really nice moment for him, because that's just not something he does.
And and it's early on in their relationship. Their relationship becomes more combative, you know, and they're both giving each other a little slack in this one.
Yeah, Yularen was just like, what are you doing at all times? But not as bad as he does in the future. And yeah, like I said, I think Bradley Baker is having a lot of fun being Trench.
Oh, he definitely is. He gets to chew the scenery.
Oh, yeah, every time. I do think every once in a while, and it might just be Trench's character, but some of Trench's scenes seem lenient, like a little, just a touch slow, just barely filler, just barely. And honestly, like, I was sitting here going, you know, we could have some really quippy robots from our droids that we love so much in these moments. And there wasn't a lot of quippy droids, like, even though his ship was full of them.
No, yeah, I didn't even really notice that, but now that you mention it, they just are sort of like, there's one point where one droid's like, aren't we going to attack him? And he's like, no, our orders are to, but there's no, like, uh-ohs, you know?
Yeah, there was one time where two of the droids went to, like, he gave them an order, and they, like, bumped heads, and one of their heads turned backwards, but, like, you know, I wouldn't mind, like, a little extra droid love, because a lot... And it was just how the character was. He's just a little bit of a slow character, and I mean that just like slow as methodical, so he takes his time when coming to his decisions. But it did hurt the pace a little bit, so they could have filled in some of that gap up. Because there was just a lot of scenes of like Trench scratching his chin and going,
Well, Trench, it seems like, would be, there would be a lot of potential for Trench would be the kind of character who would really hate having all those droids on his ship, because they're idiots, you know? And I could, you know, there could have been a little more eye rolling with him, and, you know, I wish the Separatists would give me some actual sentient beings to work with, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, he didn't need to be, like, smashing their faces in, like, Grievous.
No, that's Grievous's job, yeah.
I mean, that was the only real thing about it. Some of his scenes are just a touch slow, and that's only just because he's a more methodical character, so his actions are slower.
Yes.
He's actually quite passive, and that's what I like about Trench. A lot of, like, we're so used to Grievous and, like, Ventress being like, fuck, kill everything!
No, he's sort of the evil version of Jar Camel.
Of who?
Jar Camel.
Yeah, yeah. So, I like him for that, but it does, in this kind of show, it does slow the pace a little bit, so. But that's really all I had for Act 2.
Oh, all right. Are you ready to wrap this thing up, then?
Let's wrap this thing up.
Yes.
All right, so, Act 3. Anakin chats with Yularen and Obi-Wan, asking about Trench's past battles, and thinks that the guy might be tracking the magnetic signature. Regardless, it's time to fight. Yularen calls for the clones to go to their battle stations. Anakin starts a series of decloak, shoot torpedoes, recloak again as he attacks. He guessed correctly that Trench would lock onto his magnetic signature. The spider has to lower his shields to attack and does it anyway. Anakin sees that he took the bait and speeds towards Trench's ship. The spider has his shields recharging and no defense, as Anakin is now dragging torpedoes behind him. Scraping the top of Trench's ship, Anakin zooms away as the torpedoes crash right into the Spider-Man and destroys the vessel. Obi-Wan is like, oh, Anakin, I hate to admit it, but you were right, you got the job done, so well, high-five, bro. And he takes the rest of the Separatist fleet. Down on Christophis, Bail is like, oh my god, my future baby daddy, you're here to save us! and Spark gets a thumbs up from his commander too. Hooray for the clones! Yularen and Anakin have a bro moment at the end, and Yularen says that he's impressed with Anakin. Little does Yularen know that in future missions we've already seen, he'll be screaming, Skywalker!
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah, he and Skywalker don't become best buddies. You'd think they would after this one, but I like that. I like that they didn't portray that. They would have been very easy to have them be combative right off the bat, you know. They did a little bit, but it was nice the way they did it.
Yeah. I like that too. I like I said in the last act, I like that Anakin actually is taking advice from him and Obi-Wan in this one.
A little return of the techno Clone Wars music. It's been a long time since we heard the... It's quietly in the background, but there is one scene with about 30 seconds of Clone Wars techno-y music.
When?
Yeah, it's when it's with, I believe, Anakin and Obi-Wan and Yularen on the, you know, their main ship, just talking and plotting at some point. It's in there. It's not high in the mix, and it's not for very long. But I just noticed it because we haven't heard that in a long time. It's been pretty much straight up, you know, symphonic soundtrack music for the last dozen episodes at least. I think the last time we heard it was when R2 was fighting the yellow droid, Goldie.
I missed that. I totally didn't hear it.
It's in there, I swear.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this last act wraps it up for me. This was a tribute to Wrath of Khan, which was a tribute to submarine battles. But there was just a lot of the Khan versus Enterprise, Wrath of Khan in the Mutara Nebula fight in this, where there wasn't a cloaked ship. But they were blind to each other because of the, you know, the electromagnetic activity of the nebula. So there were two ships just sort of flying blind against each other. And I liked Anakin's ploy of like letting Trench think that, okay, I got him off his electromagnetic trace, and then using that, you know, it's sort of a nice little double thing, because okay, he's got to drop his shields to shoot at me, and he thinks it could have gone wrong for either one. They both think that they have each other, you know, pegged. You know, I know how to find the cloak ship, and Anakin knows how to, and you know, it just ends with that. If it was a regular movie, PG rated movie, it would be the moment where Trench goes, oh shit.
Yeah,
because the missiles they hit him, squashing him like a spider, for killing him with fire. So your friend should be happy every time she watches this.
Except for Trench comes back in season 6.
Oh, I hope he's I hope he's kind of a robo Trench too.
He is.
Yes.
Like a lot of his spider legs are robotic, and half his face is.
Yeah.
But the thing is like, it actually reminded me of my favorite movie of all time, which is Galaxy Quest. Because there's the scene where, like, after the crew, like, learns how to fly and learns all their roles, they're going to the torpedo field, and they're dragging torpedoes, and, like, Tim Allen is like, well, bad news for you, Saris, I'm dragging torpedoes, and he does the exact same thing. He flies right over Saris, and they crash all the torpedoes into them, and they, like, zoom in between the ship and then fly away.
Well, Galaxy Quest was a tribute to Star Trek, too.
Yeah,
so it's, yeah, no matter how you slice it, it's coming down to Star Trek in this episode.
You know I haven't seen much Star Trek, so that's my reference.
You've never seen Wrath of Khan?
No.
Oh, you're missing a good science fiction movie.
Yeah, my mom is a Trekkie, and that's her one disappointment in me, is that I haven't seen much Star Trek. She's tried. And a lot of it is just time I don't have. I have lots of time. So, yeah, it's like my mom. I kind of like, well, I'm going to Florida, listeners, very soon, and I kind of, when I'm down there, I want to have, like, call up Chris and have him podcast with my mom about Star Trek as a special episode for you guys.
That would be fun.
Yeah, I think you would like it. So I think she would like to do that too. I might do a little episode of Who True Freaks while I'm down there too. Maybe. I'd see.
we should do the podcast where your mom and I double team you on trying to on what you what Star Trek we sh- you should be made to watch.
Yeah.
Whether it should be, because I've seen pictures of your mom, and when I see pictures of your mom, like you guys were dressed up for, she was in the Next Generation uniform.
She dressed up as, I think the character was Ensign Ro. And since she had bridges on her nose and she was a red shirt.
Okay, so it was okay. That might even be like Deep Space Nine or Voyager. For all I know, but it definitely wasn't an original Star Trek. But I would guess that your mom probably started out on Kirk.
Yeah, she did.
They all start. Kirk is the gateway drug to Star Trek.
I do want to see the Tribbles episode, because good lord, Tribbles.
It's a good one. It's a light one, but it's well written and well done. But it's also, I think, overstated as, you know, one of the great Star Trek episodes. Although it is one of the great Star Trek episodes. I would put City on the Edge of Forever if you're going to watch one Star Trek episode. City on the Edge of Forever is probably the best written one ever.
Yeah. Anyway, we're on Star Wars. Star Wars.
But so, it's a very Star Trek-y Star Wars, but... And we're also plugging a possible future show, so that's good business, that's hope.
True. I don't know. I'll have to talk to her and see. Actually, I might have a... If I can get over to Orlando while I'm down there, my buds over at... Well, they used to do Greetings from Starbrook, but they retired that show. And so now they have two shows, which is Legends of Gotham, where they cover Gotham every week. And they also do another one called Universe Box, where they do, like, little news stories and stuff like that, too. You might actually see me in a lot of those. I'm one of their patrons. So I'm in a lot of their patron shows, so you should check them out. My bud, Bill Meeks, hates Star Wars. Absolutely fucking hates Star Wars. Like, cannot stand it. Just can't do it. So I made him a deal. If I get over there, he has never seen Clone Wars, so I was going to show him a good episode of Clone Wars and a bad episode of Clone Wars. And we were going to podcast together and, live podcast and do live commentary on it. And so I kind of... If I can get over to Orlando, that's going to happen. But I can't promise you anything because I'm only down there for a short amount of days. And we have stuff like my sister's baby shower to do and stuff. So I might not be able to get over to Orlando because it's like an hour and a half away. And I'm not going to have a car while I'm down there. I'm actually hitching a ride down. So maybe we'll have to see. But, yeah, I'm going to show him and let him experience Clone Wars from a bad episode than a good episode.
Yeah,
but
I'd be very curious. Curious to find out, like, what it was that made him hate Star Wars and whether he, like, watched a couple movies and said, I can't do this, or has watched them all but still doesn't like them, or...
You know, I think it's just, like, one of those things, like, it's not quite his jam.
Yeah.
Kind of like... I really do think that's what it is. Like, I think it's just not quite his jam, and I get that. Like, I get that. So, some things are just not people's jams. Mm-hmm. So, if I can get over to Orlando, that's going down for real. That's going down for real!
Yeah.
Anyway, cat and mouse. I had a weapons and ship question for you.
Okay.
Because this is just not my forte. Is the reason that Trench has to lower his shield to attack is because it has to redirect power in the ship?
I think so. Well, it might also mean they can't fire from behind shields because they would just blow up on the inside of the shields.
Okay, because earlier in the episode, we saw him firing the lasers while his shields were up because the torpedoes hit and then he fires the lasers. And even then, like, when he's firing it, like, they're fighting in the opening scene, he has his shields up. And he's still firing lasers. So I'm just wondering if the weapons that he shot, the torpedoes, were just required more energy, and that's why he couldn't have the shields up?
Well, it might be just because the lasers are made up of light.
Or is it just convenience for the episode so they could be Trench?
Could be lasers are made up of light, and light can pass through a clear shield, whereas a physical object can't.
Okay.
I don't know. That's a guess.
Yeah, because I was like, opening thing, because they're always, like, firing lasers at each other, and they're like, forward shield, but you can see lasers still firing in the fucking background, and I'm just like, when he said that, I was like, they just beat a trench because he did something that he was doing in the beginning of the, I don't know. Anyway, I'm sure the stealth ship is super expensive to make, but if this was a successful test run, I wonder why they didn't use more of them. Or make more of them.
And maybe they did, and we just don't know. Maybe they were spy ships, so they were on different, you know, there were different people using them for missions, you know what I mean? It might not have been something used in regular battle. They just used them for behind-the-scenes missions.
And that was my next thing, that the galaxy is huge, so maybe just our heroes in the show didn't use them again.
Yeah, maybe we'll have a series someday of just the adventures of the crew of the stealth ship.
Yeah, but there's just not any real mention of it again. So I was like, wow, Rogue One, why don't you get yourself one of those?
Yeah, why aren't there stealth ships by, you know, episode 4?
Yeah, why are we not using this more? Because if the Millennium Falcon is too small, I can see the Empire just being like, hey, or at least Vader going, hey, I flew one of those one time.
Yep.
Hey, Master, we should make these. I used to fly these, all the time. Can I have one instead of a TIE fighter? An argument actually my mom made for the prequels, and I remember this very clearly, is that there seems to be a technological shift. That the prequels, everything seemed, super technologically advanced. We have droids and stuff, and then by the time we get to the trilogies, we have people. So it seems like there's that kind of shift. And, sometimes I feel that way, too. We have this super cool tech, stealth ship that Vader and the Empire.
The Empire knocked the galaxy backwards, whereas it used to be, you know, they were coming up with new technology and stuff. The Empire is just sheer, you know, create stuff in numbers with what we have. Although they did come up with Death Stars and stuff like that. They got the Geonosians to do a little bit of, you know, innovation, I guess.
The stupendous wave that I mentioned earlier in the show, they had this, one of their videos was why the Empire used people instead of clones. And one of the reason is, and it's in the Legends canon, I think, is clones just creeped Palpatine out. They're just really creepy to Palpatine, so he was just ugh.
Yeah, exactly. They'd been sort of his secret enemies for a long time. He was using them, but, you know, yeah. I could see that.
I had two more points. First point is, I was wondering, with this being so early, we're probably only a few weeks into the war. I was wondering, is Anakin even signed Rex at this point? Because the clone on the ship with Sparky was the commander. He was a commander clone, but he's not the commander of the 501st. And the 501st doesn't have a commander clone because they have Rex. And maybe that was Yularen's commander clone, and maybe even Anakin's not even assigned the 501st at this time or something. Or right. Maybe they're down with Organa and he has been assigned. Because Rex is in the next episode, and Rex is Anakin's clone. And so, I'm wondering if because of this mission, that's what made him get the assignment to the 501st.
It could very well be.
I kind of need an explanation for that, because the commander was not Anakin's. Anyway, I had that thought. And finally, since this is the first episode chronologically, if people watch this first, do you think this would be a good introduction to Clone Wars?
It would be an okay introduction. Looking the way it does, the animation is better. Story-wise, it would have been adequate, you know? It would have just been an adventure. And I don't think it would have been as strong as I don't think they started particularly strongly. But it would have worked. It would have worked. Because that's what they did in the beginning. They just did a bunch of different kinds of stories almost randomly, you know? You had some actioners and some character builders, and they sort of gave you a little taste of everybody that you would get. So they could have definitely done it. It would have been a nice prequel to the movie.
Yeah.
But
have this and then the movie and cut out the last 30 minutes with Padme.
Yeah.
I love you, Padme, but yeah.
Yeah. it would have been a strong beginning for the movie. It's a pretty good battle. But I don't think, you know, I think that's why it's ended. For the life of me, I don't know why they decided to put it in that. They could have done this whole thing right in the same time frame. But it works. You know, it works as a side story.
Mm. Okay, here's my thing. This is what I think the movie in Clone Wars did so well. Because we get the movie, and we get episode one with Ambush. And it lays out, for the first time, the clone story. That these clones are people, they're individuals. We get to see both Cody and Rex in the movie. We see Rex acting on his own. We see Rex protecting Anakin and Ahsoka from Ventress and lying to Ventress to protect his general. And, like, we get that side of it. And then we get Ambush right after it. And we have Yoda sitting down with the three clones. I mean, like, you're individuals. So I think that's the difference right there. Yes, if you watch this in chronological order, we get Sparky, and he's, like, really cute, and he's like, yay, I'm in a battle. And then the next episode chronologically is The Hidden Enemy, which is the episode with Rex, Cody, and Slick. That's the Slick episode, where it's the traitor clone. So I do think with this episode and then Hidden Enemy afterwards, it would still have that kind of effect. We just wouldn't have it as soon as, say, like, the Clone Wars movie with Rex and then Ambush right after it. So I think both could possibly work.
Yeah, I agree. I would totally agree with that.
Yeah, I think that's the difference, is how soon do we want this clone story to actually be introduced. Because if having the can you imagine having Hidden Enemy episode 2?
Yeah. No, it wouldn't work after the first one, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe a little, as it did come a little later, you know.
And I think, if I remember correctly, back when we talked about The Hidden Enemy, we talked one of the reasons why it works so well is because we had Rookies first.
Right.
Even though Rookies was chronologically later, it was a really good introduction to Rex and
right.
him as leader and him and Cody and how clones. We got Fives and, like, Echo and Heavy and all them. And so the reason why Hidden Enemy worked so well, because we already had several episodes with Rex and who he is as a person and stuff like that, and that's why it was such a big deal. But I think Hidden Enemy might have been, like, almost like a shock treatment if it was episode 2. It would be almost too much of, like, we're beating you in the face that clones are individuals.
Right, right.
Then slow build up to episode 16 of season 1.
I agree.
Yeah. So that's all I had for Act 3. What about you?
Yeah, that's pretty much all I had.
Alright, so what did you think of the episode, Chris?
I really liked it. I was going to give it an 8, but I was I was actually going to give it an 8 docked down from a 9 for cribbing Star Trek, but then I thought about it and I'm like, you know what? I'm going from an 8 to a 9 because they're paying tribute to Star Trek. How about that?
You know,
so I give it an actual 9 this time.
What about the Return of the Techno movie?
It was so short and not very, very high up in the mix. It's fine. It's fine.
So you gave it a 9?
I gave it a 9.
Wow. Well, wow. You're
Yeah, one of the rare ones where I'm probably scoring it higher than you.
You know, and I will admit I'm probably lowballing this a little bit, and a lot of it is that this is a good episode, but I just think other episodes are better. But a lot of my episodes lately have been, like, 7s to 8s. So I'm probably actually lowballing this a little bit. I like going back in time and seeing the earlier Anakin. I actually wouldn't want to watch this in your chronological order, because then we don't get an effect of enjoying how far Anakin has come. It's a nice callback to the past, and he's come so far, and it's nice having that little reminder in the middle of the season. And Trench is also a smart leader, and he is, like, a better version of Grievous. And while this is nothing groundbreaking, it's a fun little Anakin, Yularen, Obi-Wan romp. So I gave it a 7.5 out of 10. But like I said, I'm probably lowballing it, but then I started looking back, and I'm like, a lot of the last episodes, like with Mandalore and stuff like that, are 8s, and I think they're just more deeper. So that's why I put it down a little bit lower. So, yeah.
This one really works on my Star Wars battle, and you throw a little Star Trek battle into it, and I'm putty in your hands.
So this might be on your season 2 recap, wouldn't it?
It might be, yeah.
Oh gosh, we're coming up on that.
it's not very, very long. We're also coming up on, we're at episode, this is episode 40. Episode 46 will be episode 1.
Yeah.
It'll be the Christmas, our Christmas season.
Yeah. I'm excited. We're gonna, you know, because like now they're running like all the Star Wars movies on TNT, and like I keep seeing them on there, and I'm like, I want to watch them. I want to see them so bad.
Wait for it.
I know. So yeah, I'm gonna let you take feedback. My throat is really hurting.
Okay, we got two feedbacks today from Aaron Henley. And
it's actually all from the same episode. One was like before he watched the episode, the other one was after it.
Okay, so I'll read them right in a row.
Okay.
All right, so the pre-episode we get, yay, somehow my iTunes didn't pick it up this morning, so I'll have to wait to get it tonight. I know Hope thinks this was kind of a meh episode.
From the this is about lightsaber loss, by the way.
Lightsaber loss, yes, with Jar Camel. From the previous episodes, but two things I always enjoyed about it were Columbo Jedi, yep. And he also picked up on that like me, and this is before he watched the episode, which might show his age. The Palpatine broadcast about how the rumors of the Jedi stretching the war were unfounded, and we saw how he started planting the seeds for the common being beginning to distrust the Jedi, which now that I think about it, they probably already did. I mean, people were probably terrified of Jedi Knights coming in and taking their kids without any question just because some test said that you had ex midichlorians, so off to Jedi training. Wow, so what difference was there between Old Republic Jedi and Sith again? Lines getting a lot blurrier.
Yeah, it is.
Yep, that's true. Okay, and so here's his after listening to the episode. Okay, finish the episode and hope I have to disagree with you. Uh-oh. I know that you felt this episode didn't really mesh with the season, and I think it actually does. Yes, it's pretty lighthearted one-off, but you did mention what came before and after. This is what I would call a breather episode. No momentum or overarching plot revelations, but just a chance for the audience to have a quiet moment before we ramp up with the great Mandalorian arc. After what we just went through with zombie bugs, controlled clones, and a young woman begging to be killed, I think this little breather episode helped calm the show down a bit because, to be honest, I was in my early 20s when this season started, and I was freaked out after what we just went through back in 2009, so that may influence me a bit on this, and I'm not saying it's the best episode by any stretch, but it helped me now, and now we get my favorite arc, the Mandalorian arc, or episode 2, romance plot done right and with a little lost love tragedy thrown in. Looking forward to next Wednesday.
Yay. That's okay. You can disagree with me. I don't care.
That's what the internet's for.
No, it's more of the thing that, like, it's not that Lightsaber Loss was a bad episode. I just...
Not really your cup of tea.
It just wasn't the best episode, and it's kind of... It's one of the... Like, we talked about it in the episode. I mean, it's one of those things that, like, it's a nice romp, but they missed their own point of the mission of the episode, which is patience.
Well,
and at the end of the episode, Ahsoka's just like, let me tell you about your lightsaber. And I'm like, no, you just spent 30 minutes. You just wasted 22 minutes of my time to not get the point of the episode.
I think a lot of the appeal to both Aaron and I on this one was the Columbo connection. The Columbo connection.
I would have been way more interested in the Gal Pal teams.
Yeah, maybe we got to get you to watch some Columbo episodes.
And maybe we should watch more lesbians make out.
Why not both?
For that. that's my cup of tea, man. That's my cup of tea. I'm down for that.
We can alternate.
Columbo lesbians.
I'm sure there's plenty of both on the internet.
Sure, we can find some. I was about to say, internet, find us some, but don't.
No, it's too easy.
I can just, yeah. No. I mean, I don't mind if people disagree with me. And it's not that it's a bad episode. It's just, I just think there are way betters. And there are even better breather episodes.
We'll not be on Hope's episode 2 recap, or season 2 recap.
And I warmed up to it after we talked about it, but for example, like I think Bounty Hunters is a better breather episode. I'm just looking through the season 2 episodes right fast. Bounty Hunters is a better breather episode. This is a better breather episode. Cat and Mouse is. That, like, we're about to have two kind of breather episodes in a row before we get to Godzilla and Boba Fett.
Yeah.
We're about to have Godzilla and Boba Fett, but, like, Senate Murders is a breather, Cat and Mouse is a breather, and Bounty Hunters is a breather, and all three are way better than Lightsaber Lost. I mean, so it's not that it's a bad episode, there's just better. Fuck, the first Jar Jar Binks episode is better. And that's only because Chris convinced me
that
of
made it onto my season one.
Because Chris convinced me of it. So, yeah. I mean, so that's... Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Where can people find you, Chris?
You know where you can find me at twotruefreaks.com.
One of these days, I'm waiting for you to answer. Be like, you'll never find me at all, coppas. And then just like, I just hear the noise of you running away and slamming your door in the back.
You'll never take our podcast alive.
Never! Go on, I'm sorry.
And, it's the home of a million podcasts.
Podcasts.
It's like the Thousand Islands of podcasts.
Podcasts.
It's like a great universe of podcasts, and we've got all kinds of podcasts. We got Star Trek podcasts. Someday, maybe even our Doctor Who podcasts will come back.
That is. I haven't watched Doctor Who in almost a year now since then. I have yet to finish the last season. I haven't brought myself to it. I'm still kind of... I was thinking about it, and on the anniversary of Sean's passing, I'm going to watch Doctor Who and finish the season. That's my healing. But I've missed Doctor Who, but every time I've tried to watch Doctor Who, listeners, if you're a new listener, go listen to our first episode, and we dedicate it to our good friend Sean Engel. And I was on Who True Freaks with him, and he was our friend.
He was pretty much running that episode. I'm sorry, Sean. I didn't mean to bring it up.
I'm sorry. It's kind of
raw in the Two True Freaks world.
Every time I think about it, I'm just like, I'm gonna watch Doctor Who. I'm gonna do a Who, because we've talked about it. Like, all of us on Who True Freaks have talked about, like, what we're gonna do, but no one's done it because I think all of us feel like we're stepping on Sean's toes.
It's hard, but, yeah. I would expect it's getting close to being a year since he passed, and I'm thinking sometime in the near future we'll probably be doing some sort of memorial podcast for him. There's been people who've been, you know, expressing interest in that, and it's probably something that Two True Freaks should probably do, you know, for us and for our listeners and for Sean.
And for Sean, we miss you, buddy.
But anyway, sorry to be such a downer,
no,
especially
okay.
with this peppy music playing in the background. But
I can only imagine to be like, our friend died.
Yeah, no, yeah, he would appreciate that anyway.
He would love it. He's like, play it again, guys, do it again.
But, yeah, come to Two True Freaks. We got them all there, twotruefreaks.com. You'll see a list of all the podcasts, and you can just sort of, you could start from the beginning, and we'll see you in 8 years when you catch up.
Yeah.
We have a lot of episodes.
You have to say a lot
vaults.
You gotta say a lot longer than that. Really represent it.
I'm getting old. And I gotta start somewhere and build off it. Maybe that'll be my thing is, you know, by the end of, you know, by the time we're in like season 5, I'll be like doing lot for like 10 minutes, you know.
I was thinking our longest episode is like, what, like an hour 45 minutes or something like that?
An hour of it being me saying, la. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much so.
I'm editing it and it'll just be this like straight line right across. But anyway, where do they find you, Hope?
You can find me at Jigas and Jedi on Twitter. I run our Twitter account. You can also find me at Hope Molex, and I'm also the newsbeat writer for What the Fangirl. Something I'm doing now that Star Wars Rebels is back is over on my Tumblr, I do instant GIF reactions, so I post those on my Twitters too, and those are fun. It's pretty much just me reacting to Star Wars Rebels episodes using GIFs. I mean, it's nothing fancy. But anyway, I am the news beat writer for What the Fangirl, so check me out over there. And at J Guys and Jedi, and at Hope Molinex, all on Twitter. I don't know why I did that.
Which reminds me, I forgot to say, you can go see Two True Freaks on Twitter, too. And on Facebook, there's a Two True Freaks page.
And if you leave us a review on iTunes, we'll read it right here on the show.
Yes, we will.
So...
Or if you go on our Facebook page and leave comments under our episodes that we post, we'll read those too.
Yeah, that's actually where we got Aaron's comments.
Yep.
Is the thing you just said. Wow, my mind just blanked out on me. the thing that we just read about the faces and the books and the books and the faces. That. Yeah. That thing. I think my cold medicine's wearing off.
Your cold what?
Clone. I think my cold medicine's wearing off. Damn you!
You gotta mail me some of that clone medicine. I'm curious now.
No, they're mine. They're all mine. Fuck off, Chris Honeywell.
Find your own connection.
You can get your own clones. Fuck you. No, but seriously, come check us out.
Yes, and we'll be back next week with more clony clone goodness.
Next week, bounty hunters. I'm excited. I love this episode.
Yeah, we get the
go back to old samurais.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the tribute to samurai movies. And Hondo's back. I love Hondo.
Oh yeah, and you know, and I mean, Star Wars was a tribute to samurai movies in a lot of ways. So it's going full circle.
Yeah, yeah. We're gonna have samurai and then Godzilla.
And the guy who did Samurai Jack did the first Clone Wars cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very excited about that. So, I mean, we have Hondo, we have Ahsoka back. You know, it's been when's the last time we had Ahsoka? She wasn't in Mandalore plot, she wasn't in Voyage of Temptation, she wasn't in Dungeons. It's been 1, 2, 3, 4.
Like 4 episodes.
We haven't had her since Lightsaber Lost, so by the time this comes out, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We've been 5 episodes without Ahsoka, so.
Wow.
I'm ready to have my girl back, my queen. My queen!
Where you been,
girl? Satine's good. She ain't as orange as you. You got a little bit more spray tan than she does. But it's good to have you back, girl. See you next week.
We've never...
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at TwoTrueFreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of Two True Freaks.
All right, children. The lights are out and the party's over. It's time for me, Dr. D, to start running and say goodbye for a little while. And I know you're gonna miss me, so I'll leave you with this. You know that big ball of radiation we call the sun? Well, it'll burst you into flames if you stay in one place too long. That is if the static don't get you first. So remember, even if you're dusted, you may be gone, But out here in the desert, your shadow lives on without you. This is Dr. Death Defying, signing off.